Cool through Tuesday. The highs in the mid-50s tomorrow, upper 50s on Tuesday, and lows in the lower 40s. Currently in downtown Seattle, it's 52 degrees, 51 at the airport. Wind out of the north at 10 miles per hour. It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. The Watergate cover-up trial continues this week in Washington, and there is a hint that more evidence against Richard Nixon is going to come out. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Defense attorneys this week will probably begin cross-examining prosecution witness John Dean, who was on the stand last week in the trial of former Nixon aides. Leon Jaworski, the special Watergate prosecutor, said Sunday that people can look for something else in the trial, more evidence against former President Nixon. Jaworski said the tapes and other evidence yet to be presented in the case may bring out the truth about Watergate, even though the former president has been pardoned. Also on Monday, some private citizens are filing a suit designed to prevent the government from turning over to Mr. Nixon tapes and documents from his administration. Mr. Nixon has gone to court to try to get the material. The Ford administration says it is going to hold on to the material, at least for the time being. President Ford says he is willing to make public tapes of any conversations between himself and Richard Nixon while Mr. Nixon was president. The president said the only condition he would place on this is the approval of the special Watergate prosecutor. President Ford leaves the White House in the morning to fly to the U.S.-Mexican border at Arizona for talks with Mexico's president, Luis Echeverria. Among the topics likely to come up are trade, oil, and migrant workers. The two presidents will likely discuss those reports of a huge new oil field discovered in southern Mexico and the problem of thousands of illegal aliens who enter the U.S. from Mexico each year as migrant workers. Governor Francis Sargent of Massachusetts says National Guardsmen will remain on alert for some time against further outbreaks of violence in Boston in connection with the school integration plan there. Sargent says he's taking the precaution because the Boston police force is stretched very thin and is tired. Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy said Sunday he does not think National Guardsmen should be sent into Boston, at least at this time.
This is a difficult situation, but I was opposed to the activation of federal troops, and I'd be opposed at the present time to the deployment of National Guard. I think those in the city now have been able to maintain a sense of order, and I support those efforts.
Senator Edward Kennedy. I'll have more news in a moment.
Frank L. Goffio, Executive Director of CARE, calls for help to save the lives of victims of drought in Africa.
After months of searing agony, millions of men, women, and children are still barely clinging to life in the drought-stricken countries of Africa. The magnitude of the catastrophe far outweighs the help available. Vast areas of crops and thousands of livestock have been wiped out. Famine has followed drought, and hundreds of thousands of families are hungry and sick. Everything possible must be done to keep these people alive. With your help, CARE is speeding millions of pounds of nutritious food, medicine, and other vital supplies, building or improving water systems and reservoirs to increase food production and provide drinkable water. This kind of help, extended right now, can make the difference between life and death for millions of desperate people whose ability to survive weakens with the passing of each day. Your contribution to CARE will save their lives.
Please send your dollars to CARE, African Drought Famine Fund, Department 2, New York 10016.
The people of Switzerland have voted not to kick out the foreigners living there. The issue decided Sunday following a two-day national referendum. Details reported by Alan McGregor in Geneva.
The massive 2-to-1 vote against the proposal for compelling half of Switzerland's 1 million foreigners to leave within 3 years has delighted all main political parties, unions, business, and the government. They had lined up in condemnation of what they called an inhuman measure that would, in addition, have tripled the country economically. Almost one worker in every three is foreign. But Valentin Urn, leader of the tiny right-wing National Action Party, thinks that a 34% vote for their proposal, considering the massive campaign against it, underlines the strength of feeling on Überfremdung, foreign overpopulation. Almost 17% of the country's 6.3 million population are foreigners. And James Fassenbach says his National Republican Party will go ahead with its initiative for holding a further referendum on the foreigners issue next year. Their proposal is much less drastic, but the aim is essentially the same. Alan McGregor for CBS News, Geneva.
The government of Israel has started a crash program to absorb a possible new flood of immigrants from the Soviet Union, this following a Soviet pledge to the U.S. to allow 60,000 people to leave Russia annually, about double the present number. Israeli Premier Yitzhak Rabin has sent a cable to Senator Henry Jackson, Democrat of Washington, thanking Jackson for his insistence on the immigration agreement in return for liberalizing American trade restrictions with the Soviet Union. The elusive North Side kangaroo is still on the lam in Chicago. The mischievous marsupial was first sighted early Friday in somebody's backyard. The police came to investigate, and the animal kicked two Chicago officers so much they backed off, and the kangaroo went hopping on his way. He's been sighted a couple of times since then, but hasn't been captured yet. The latest reported sighting was Saturday night, when the kangaroo helped himself to the contents of a couple of garbage cans. Still unsolved is the mystery of where the kangaroo came from. All the kangaroos in area zoos have been accounted for, and no one has reported losing one. Doug Poling, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. Taking a look at sports, in the National Basketball Association, of Seattle Supersonics defeated Cleveland by a score of 100-93. Kansas City, Omaha over Los Angeles, 105-95. In pro football today, Miami over Kansas City, 9-3. It was Buffalo, 30. New England, 28. Washington beat the Giants, 24-3. Baltimore dumped the Jets, 35-20. Pittsburgh got past Cleveland, 20-16. New Orleans, 13. Atlanta, 3. Detroit defeated Minnesota, 20-16. St. Louis over Houston, 31-27. Dallas, 31. Philadelphia, 24. Oakland down Cincinnati, 30-27. Los Angeles, 37. San Francisco, 14. And Denver beat San Diego by a score of 27-7. Currently in downtown Seattle, a temperature of 52 degrees. CBS Mystery Theater is next. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Sorry about this door of ours. We've tried oiling it 100 times, but it doesn't do the least bit of good. You see, this is the door to the Radio Mystery Theater, and its hinges have a mind of its own. And speaking of the mind, that's the subject of the story you're about to hear. We're going to take you deep into the recesses of a human mind, but you won't be alone on your journey. You'll be accompanied by 3 people. One of them is a psychiatrist, a man whose purpose it is to heal and cure. But the other two, well, I'm sorry to say that their intentions are not nearly so benevolent.
You can't do this to that man, Jimmy. He's sick. He's very sick. If we do something like this, we're liable to make him worse.
Do you think I care about him? All I care about is us.
But you might drive him out of his head. You might make him insane.
Our mystery drama, The Case of MJH, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Henry Slessor and stars Augusta Dabney. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If you take a look at the new 1975 cars, it doesn't take long to notice the European influence is strong. And to be sure, there are some new American cars that rival the Europeans, one being Buick's new Skylark SR. But don't consider a Skylark SR because of its touring car interior or its rather rakish profile. Consider it because it's a Buick, possessing many of Buick's nicer innovations, like the new Buick V6, a peppery little engine that spits out a plentiful amount of torque while sipping a surprisingly small amount of gasoline. And if you wish, Skylark SR can abound with creature comforts seldom found on cars this size, with available items like Cruise Master Speed Control, AM/FM Stereo. But you've heard enough. Now you need to see and drive a Skylark SR. And try to remember, It's not a European touring car. It's a Buick.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
The mood of a psychiatrist's office is very special. A quiet mood, which gives no hint of the raging storms contained in the minds of those who lie on Dr. Vernon Cooper's leather couch and murmur their way through the secret fears and hidden angers of their lives.
I must have been, 20 or 21, something like that. That was when I started putting on the pounds. My God, I put on weight so fast, I had to get rid of a suit I'd bought only 2 months before. It was, like you said, I got myself into a spiral. I couldn't get out of it. I didn't have any friends. I didn't think any girl would look at me twice, fat as I was. And the more I felt deprived, the hungrier I got. And the more I ate, and the more I ate, and... Oh, listen, I must have told you this story a dozen times, Dr. Cooper.
No, it doesn't matter.
It's like a waste of money, isn't it? Me coming here twice a week and telling you the same things over and over.
Oh, there are differences. There are always differences in the way things are related. Those differences can be very significant.
Well, maybe.
Why are you looking at your watch?
Oh, I tell my time's up, isn't it?
Yes, but why not let me tell you when the hour's up?
I guess I'm just anxious to get out of here. I've got something to do this evening.
Business appointment?
Oh, like you said, Doctor... The hour's up. I don't have to say any more, do I?
All right, Mr. Harrison. We'll go on next time, then.
Right. Listen, would it be all right if I didn't come in at 3 o'clock on Wednesday? I'm busy then. Could we change the time?
Well, why don't you check with Miss Sheridan?
Yeah, I'll do that. So long, Dr. Cooper.
Bye.
Miss Sheridan?
Yes, Mr. Harrison?
Dr. Cooper said I could ask you if there was some other time I could come on Wednesday.
Let's see. You were scheduled for 3. Oh! Wait a minute. I see that Dr. Cooper has a free hour at 10, if you can make it that early.
Yes, that'll be okay. 10 o'clock. Thanks.
Bye, Mr. Harrison.
So long.
Dr. Cooper's office.
Hi, Maddie. It's Judy.
Oh, hello, Judy. How are you?
Okay. Listen, what are you doing tonight?
Usual, I suppose. Eating dinner and watching television. Who knows? I might vary the routine by washing my hair.
You wouldn't like to go to that party with me.
What party? Oh, Judy, you don't mean that dancing school thing?
Yeah, that one.
Judy, why do you talk about those things as if they're really parties? Nobody gets invited. You pay to be there.
Oh, it's better than nothing, isn't it?
Not for me, it isn't.
But what choice do we have? There's got to be some way to meet a man in this town.
Well, all we ever met there are dancing instructors. And all they want is to sign us up for a 5,000-lesson dance course, payable for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, I guess you're right. What did you say was on TV tonight?
Maddie?
Oh, excuse me, Judy, you have to go.
Oh, okay, I'll call you later.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Dr. Cooper?
You might as well run along home. I have some notes to transcribe, and I'm not expecting any more patients.
Well, not in any hurry, Doctor.
No, you run along and enjoy your evening. Oh, did I say something wrong?
I beg your pardon?
That was quite a face you made when I said that.
Oh, I'm sorry. My evening was just under discussion. Doesn't look that enjoyable.
Oh, well, whatever happened to that young man you were seeing a while back? Freddie, something?
You're just a little bit behind schedule, Dr. Cooper. Freddie was gone with the wind just about a year ago.
Huh? Is it that long?
There never was much there to begin with.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, see you in the morning, as usual.
As usual. That's the phrase, all right.
So, Mr. Radom, it says to Mr. Clark, who's supposed to be handling the money around here, you or me? So Mr. Clark says, why have we got adding machines in the office if you're not going to use them? So Mr. Aranowitz says, hey, Maddie, are you still there?
Yes, Judy, I'm here.
You haven't said a word for 5 minutes.
I wonder why.
Listen, am I keeping you from something?
Only from my dinner. I thought I had some macaroni and cheese left over from last night, but it had green mold all over it.
Well, what are you going to do then?
About the cafeteria, I suppose.
I thought you hated that place. You said it was full of nothing but tired old men.
Hey, old men, but fresh macaroni and cheese. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Judy, okay?
Yeah, all right. Hey, you know something?
What?
Right about now, I'd even settle for a tired old man.
Excuse me, miss.
Yes?
Maybe I'd be able to give you a hand with that tray. It looks like you're about to drop the whole thing.
Oh, this darn book of mine has made the whole thing unbalanced.
Well, here, maybe if I grab the book.
Oh, thanks. That helps.
Hey, this is some book, all right. Must weigh 10 pounds.
It reads that way, too. Well, thanks again.
Why not sit down here at my table?
Well, okay. I guess it's just as good a table as any.
Oh, of course, maybe you'd rather be by yourself to read your book.
No. I don't think I really feel like reading tonight.
Hey, what's the name of it, anyway? Hey, you know something? I can't even pronounce the name of it.
It's called The Psychopathology of Everyday Life. Sigmund Freud, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yeah, he's a shrink or something like that.
Well, he was just about the first shrink, I guess.
No kidding. Hey, you must be a pretty brainy type reading stuff like this.
Well, I'm afraid I only read it because I think I should. Not much of it really penetrates.
Well, that's the way I feel about most books. Tony, I never cracked one with a title like that.
Well, you see, I work for a doctor.
Oh, hey, you a nurse?
No, not really. I'm just a receptionist, a secretary. But I did have some training, and I thought it would be necessary in order to work for that sort of person.
Oh, well, what sort?
A psychiatrist.
Oh, you mean he's a shrink, too?
Well, I suppose you could call him that.
Well, what do you know? You know, all my life I wondered about those guys. I mean, what they do, how that psychoanalysis stuff works. Yeah, it does work, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. There's no doubt of that. Oh, Dr. Cooper's done wonderful things for his patients.
You mean he makes crazy people well?
Oh, you can't oversimplify it that way. Well, his patients aren't, well, crazy, as you say. They're disturbed, and they have problems and neuroses, and, well, an awful lot of people do. Only, you know, not all of them seek professional help.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Yeah, more nuts walking the street. psychopathology?
Yeah.
I don't know. This kind of stuff is too much for me. Hey, you're not eating your dinner.
No. Yeah, that's right. Well, then, you're not eating yours either.
Well, I'm not too hungry tonight. I'm just having coffee.
That's all?
Well, that's all I came in for. Only, I guess I'm getting a little more than I bargained for. I mean, this nice conversation.
Do you live around here?
Well, not too far away. In fact, I was thinking of looking for a room in this neighborhood.
Just a room?
Well, yeah, what else does a guy like me need? I mean, a guy without a family.
Oh, I see.
You know, I really can't get over it.
Over what?
The combination.
What do you mean?
I mean, a girl like you, a nice-looking girl like you, with brains, too. Listen, my name is Jimmy French.
How do you do?
Oh, hey, come on, fair is fair. I told you my name, the least you can do.
Okay, my name's Maddie Sheridan.
Maddie?
Yeah, well, the truth is my name is Matilda, but I don't care for it very much, so my friends call me Maddie.
Well, fine, that's okay with me. My name is James. I guess I should be running along. I gotta meet a guy downtown to talk about a job.
Oh, you're not working right now?
No, well, I'm kind of between things, you know, but it'll be okay, I guess. if I just keep trying. That's the old American spirit, right?
Yes, of course.
It was sure nice talking to you, Maddie.
It was nice talking to you.
Maybe I'll see you around. Who knows, right?
Yeah, who knows? Dr. Cooper's office. Oh, yes, Mr. Harrison. No, the doctor hasn't come back from lunch yet. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll tell the doctor that when he arrives. Now, will you be able to make your next appointment? Fine. I'll tell him, Mr. Harrison. Oh, Dr. Cooper.
Sorry I'm back so late, Matilda. Mr. Harrison isn't here yet, is he?
No, he just called this minute. He said he wasn't feeling very well and, he won't be able to make it today.
Oh, yeah, I was afraid of that. Did he say what was bothering him?
No, no. That's all he said. But he promised that he'd be here for his next appointment. You look worried, Doctor.
Yeah, I am. Worried about that man. Sometimes I almost feel I should arrange another doctor for him. He just isn't making the progress I hope for. Oh, well. If he calls again, put him through directly to me. Tell him I could fit him in tomorrow if he wants.
Yes, Doctor. Dr. Cooper's office.
Hi, is this Maddie?
Yes. Who's this?
Hi, Maddie. It's Jimmy French. Remember me?
Yes. Yes, I remember. Hey, how did you know where to reach me?
Well, I remembered what you said about this Dr. Cooper. I just looked you up.
Oh.
Listen, I hope you don't think I'm fresh or anything, but I was wondering if maybe you'd see me sometime. Like tonight.
Well, I really don't know. It's sort of short notice.
Yeah, I guess it is. I don't blame you for saying no.
Oh, well, I didn't say no. I just meant that I was going to stay home and do some ironing, but I guess that can wait.
Hey, you mean it?
Yeah, of course I do. Do you think you can pick me up at my apartment?
Well, sure. Where is it?
It's 915 Southern Avenue on the first floor, apartment 2A.
Is 7:30 okay?
7:30 is fine.
Oh, great. I'll see you then, Maddie.
One second. Who is it? Yeah, that figures. I knew you'd be coming around again.
That's right, Jimmy boy. I'm coming around every night until we get our business finished. Now, what do you say? Got a little installment for me?
Mike, listen, I got something better than an installment.
Come on, buddy. Don't tell me you got the whole thing. I'd keel over and die. You never had two bills in your pocket at the same time.
Mike, I got something going. I got something that's going to take a little time, but it'll be just what I need. What we both need.
You know what I need, Jimmy boy. I need my bread. All of it. And I need it now.
You'll get it. Every nickel, Mike. I'm going to start putting it all together tonight. 7:30 tonight.
Something tells me that Jimmy French isn't the best person that Maddie Sheridan could have met in the cafeteria that night. Of course, I might be wrong. He might be a very fine, upstanding young man whose only interest is getting somewhere in this world. Or is the phrase, getting someone? We'll find out more when I return shortly with Act Two.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact, the sooner the better.
The common cold is a rotten thing. You miss so much. Sneezing, drips, and congestion can drag you down. Then ask yourself the contact question. 6 for 3 or 1. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. That's daytime, then nighttime relief. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs. Not found in Contact 600 Tiny Type Pills.
Here's your code to contact.
6301. Take contact. Only as directed.
So surprised, you'd stare up at the heavens with those big blue eyes, and the wind would carry all of your light up to the skies, and the sun would start shining again,
and the sun would start shining.
You can help make the sun start shining again through the United Nations Children's Fund. This is Bill Anderson, asking you to be generous when the neighborhood youngsters come to your door to trick-or-treat for UNICEF this Halloween. Please drop a few coins in their little orange boxes and help UNICEF bring better food, medical care, and education to millions of needy children.
Maddie Sheridan has had a remarkable evening. Remarkable simply because a man, young, attractive, and unmarried, has sought her out, treated her to dinner, taken her to a movie, and is now walking her back home. Not a very noteworthy event for many women, but for Mattie Sheridan, after a year of loneliness, a most significant evening indeed.
I don't think you really liked the movie, Jimmy.
Yeah, it was okay.
You seemed awfully fidgety.
Well, I get that way sometimes, fidgety. I don't know, maybe it wasn't the best way to... Well, you know, get to know somebody just by sitting in a movie house watching a picture.
I see. Oh, what happened about that job?
What job?
I meant to ask you at dinner. About that job interview you went on the night we met.
Oh, that. Well, that didn't work out, but I'll get something. Don't worry about me.
What sort of work do you do, Jimmy?
Well, all kinds of things. Listen, what time do you have? I don't have a watch. I mean, I do, but it's broken. It's in the shop.
It's 10 minutes after 11.
Is that late? I mean, as far as you're concerned.
No, not very.
Well, maybe I could come in for a few minutes, huh?
Yeah, of course. If you want to. I could, I could make some coffee, maybe.
Well, that'd be great.
Or maybe you'd like some hot chocolate. I still love hot chocolate late at night. I suppose I'll always be a child, even though I'm not a child.
Tell you the truth, what I'd really like is a beer, if you have one.
Yes, sure, I think I do.
Swell. You like living alone, Maddie?
Oh, I don't think anybody really likes being alone.
No, that's for sure. Hey, yeah, skip the glass. I'll drink it right out of the can.
Okay.
Thanks. Oh, that's good.
Jimmy?
Hmm?
Can I ask you something?
Well, sure.
Why are you having trouble finding work?
Oh, I don't know. Just the times, I guess.
Well, when you say you do all kinds of things, what would some of them be?
Well, I guess anything that doesn't require brains.
Oh, come on, I don't believe that. You're very intelligent, seems to me.
Well, thanks, but you know better, Maddie. I mean, you know, I'm not so good in the education department. I quit high school in my second term. Ooh, that was a big mistake.
Well, mistakes can be corrected.
Look, Maddie, you might as well know the worst about me. When I was a kid, I was in trouble all the time, stealing cars, stuff like that. I was even arrested a couple of times.
But you were young. You didn't know any better then.
Yeah, I guess.
Doesn't do any good to blame yourself for what you've done in the past. That just gives you guilt feelings.
Yeah, Doc, guilt feelings, right? Hey, yeah, how much do you charge for an hour?
I'm serious, Jimmy.
Yeah, I was afraid you might ask me something serious.
Would you rather I didn't?
No, the truth is, Yes, I want you to be serious with me. I haven't met anybody like you in a long, long time.
Then tell me about yourself, Jimmy.
Okay. Why, you want to hear the rough part? I'm a nothing.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Oh, you can believe it, Maddie. I'm a nothing. I don't have a trade. I can't do anything that'll make me a decent living. I got six jobs this year, none of them worth $100 a week. I'm not the kind of a guy who can, well, take a girl to fancy places, stuff like that.
I don't like fancy places myself.
Yeah, but you deserve something a lot better than cafeterias. I mean, you're really something special, Maddie. Didn't you know that?
Me?
Listen, I never thought a girl like you would look at me twice.
But why?
Oh, come on. You know, you're a million times smarter than me. Look, maybe I'd better be going.
We haven't even finished your beer.
I'd better go. I'm just getting you all depressed, and then me too.
Jimmy? Huh? Will you be calling me again?
Why do you want to hear from a guy like me? What for?
Hello?
Maddie?
Who is it?
Look, I'm sorry to be calling so late. I guess you must have been fast asleep.
Oh. Well, I did go to bed right after you left.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done it, but I just had to talk to you again, Maddie. I hated to see things left the way they were.
I don't know how things were left.
Maddie, would you see me again?
Of course I would.
You wouldn't be just saying that, Maddie.
Don't be silly.
Because now you know what kind of a bum I am.
I don't know anything of the kind.
Listen, this is crazy, but would you see me tomorrow night, too?
Yes, Jimmy. Sure, I'd be happy to see you tomorrow night.
Mr. Harrison not here yet?
No, doctor.
I should have guessed that he'd be late. He always is recently.
Dr. Cooper.
Yes, Maddie.
About tonight. I know we usually work a bit late on Fridays, but I was just wondering if I could leave at 5:30.
Well, yes, of course. Something special about tonight?
Yes, sort of.
I've been meaning to tell you how well you've been looking these days. You're doing your hair differently, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah. I got sort of tired of that old maid look.
Now, if I had to give a professional opinion, I might diagnose a condition of the heart.
All right. I'm here. I suppose you're all upset because I'm late.
Oh, no, Mr. Harrison, not at all. Please come in.
Hello?
Jimmy? It's all right. My place at 7, darling. Here we are. Roast beef, specialty of the house.
Yeah, looks good.
Did you pour the wine, darling?
Uh-huh.
You do like roast beef, don't you, Jimmy?
Yeah, sure.
Not too well done, is it? Oh, my oven heats up like Vesuvius sometimes.
No. It's just right.
Hey, Jimmy, what is it? Now, look, I can see that something is the matter.
Well, nothing's the matter. The roast beef is great. The table looks terrific. You look sensational. The only thing wrong with this whole thing is me.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about me, Maddie, about me and you and all the talk about, the future. I don't know what made me start that junk. Talking about marrying when I can't even get a job that lasts more than one week.
Jimmy, did you say marrying?
Well, sure, what else? You know, that's what I want for us, Maddie, more than anything.
But you've never mentioned that before.
How could I? What right did I have? I've been thinking about it so much, I'm sick. You know how that is. You can think about something and get sick. Headaches right now.
Oh, darling, poor boy. Why didn't you say something?
No, it's not a case for an aspirin. It needs another kind of pill. A money pill. That's what it needs.
Oh, Jimmy.
Maddie, I told you a lie. I told you that I was a wild kid, a bad kid. That was a lie. I was just an ordinary kid. The guy I described, the crook, the punk who stole cars, the guy who got himself arrested twice. That's me now, Maddie. Right now.
You don't mean that.
I'm telling you the truth about myself. I'm not just a crook. I'm a cheap crook at that.
Oh, I just don't believe that.
Well, you better for your sake. It's even worse than you know. I'm not just broke. I'm in debt. I've been living on borrowed bread. If I don't pay it back, I'll either go to jail or get my head busted in.
Oh, Jimmy, no.
Well, that's what they do to guys like me.
Jimmy, listen. Listen, I have some money saved. I have a little over $300.
I owe $8,000, Maddie.
What?
I owe $8,000. How do you like them apples?
Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'd be some husband for you, wouldn't I? Best thing for you is to lose me, honey. Lose me.
But I don't want to lose you. There has to be something that can be done, Jimmy.
Well, yeah, maybe. I've been thinking about it a lot.
What have you thought?
I thought that...
What?
I can't even tell you.
Oh, please. Come on. You have to.
Okay. It's the only time I'll ever ask you to do something like this, because I'm going to change right after it's over. I'll change, Maddie, so help me.
After what's over?
One more job. Only one, I mean it. But it's got to be something worthwhile. Now, Maddie, I want you to bring me the files from the doctor's office.
What?
I want you to bring me his files, as many as you can carry. Only the current cases, the people he's had recently.
But, Jimmy,
Let me finish. I want to borrow those files just overnight. I'll go through them real quick. So fast, you can have them back in the drawers by morning. Who knows? Maybe I'll find what I'm looking for right away.
Well, what are you looking for? What good will Dr. Cooper's files do you?
It's just an idea I got. I mean, this analyst stuff is pretty personal, isn't it? I mean, they have to tell the doctor everything, don't they?
Yes, of course. There can't be any secrets from an analyst. That would defeat the whole purpose.
Right. No secrets. So if I could see the doc's notes, if I could read through them, well, there's bound to be plenty of stuff they'd like to hide, stuff they'd pay money to keep quiet.
Jimmy, you're talking about blackmailing.
Your boss has a lot of rich patients, hasn't he? Now, you tell me how much this analysis stuff costs. I mean, $60 an hour. They're going to be loaded,
Jimmy,
right?
Please don't ask me to do this.
Honey, they can afford a few grand. It wouldn't hurt them to part with a few grand. If I could just get enough to pay off the loan and maybe a little extra for us to get started.
No, I won't, Jimmy. I can't. I won't.
You won't even listen to me. You won't even give me a chance.
I couldn't do such a thing. I just couldn't.
Not even for me? For us?
No.
All right. That tells me what I want to know. Yeah, I guess you want me to beat it out of here right now, don't you?
No, I didn't say that either.
It just can't be both ways.
It isn't fair. It just isn't fair to ask me to do such a thing. It doesn't.
So long, man. I'm sorry about the dinner. You went through a lot of trouble, but I just don't have any appetite.
Jimmy. Me, Jimmy.
Who?
It's Maddie.
Maddie, what are you doing here?
I just wanted to see you. I've been calling you for days.
I've been out.
Why didn't you call me?
You know why.
Jimmy, I missed you terribly.
I missed you too, Maddie. What's the use? What's the good of us seeing each other? It doesn't go nowhere, honey, don't you see?
Jimmy, Can't you see what I have here?
What's that?
It's the files. It's not all of them. It's just his current patients.
Patients?
Yes, it's Dr. Cooper's files. I've brought them.
Well, well. They say that love is blind. But in this case, you might also say that love is just a little bit larcenous, too. No, we won't pass judgment on Maddie Sheridan. We know the pressures that she faces. But who knows who else is going to be pressured as a result of this night's work? We'll find out very soon when I return with Act Three.
Ever see a beer drinker pour his beer real easy down the side of the glass? Maybe you do it yourself. If so, the Budweiser brewmaster thinks you're missing something, especially if you're a Budweiser drinker. You see, Bud is brewed, so it will kick up a healthy head of foam. Exclusive beechwood aging and natural carbonation make it a lively brew. Well, anyway, pouring Bud plunk down the middle of the glass helps bring out the best in that clean white Budweiser foam and real beer aroma. It also helps you get the full benefit of a taste, smoothness, and drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Remember, brewing beer right does make a difference. Next time, pour that Budweiser right down the middle and see for yourself. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
There is frantic activity in the one-room apartment rented by Jimmy French, a steady period which has lasted for many long hours. Folder after folder has been perused. Long, copious notes full of psychiatric jargon have been studied. And if Jimmy French is getting what he expected from the notes of Dr. Vernon Cooper, he certainly doesn't seem to be pleased with the results.
Nothing. I can't make heads or tails out of this
stuff.
Please,
Jimmy, try just to keep them in some kind of order. If you mix up the pages, I'll never get them back correctly in the files.
Why can't I figure out what he's talking about half the time?
I told you it wouldn't be easy, that they wouldn't make sense to you.
It's like reading a foreign language. Wait a minute. What are those type pages?
Well, they're transcripts of conversations. They're taken from a tape recorder. Well, Dr. Cooper doesn't always tape what his patients are telling him unless he thinks it's important.
Oh, boy, this looks like a long night. I haven't even eaten yet, have you?
No, I came right from the office.
I got some hamburger meat in the refrigerator.
You want me to fix it?
That'd be great.
All right.
Maddie?
Yes?
Look, I know how you feel about this, but you're not doing your boss any harm. These files will be back where they belong tomorrow morning.
All right, Jimmy. Well, it's all set. I couldn't find any hamburger rolls, so I hope white bread will do.
Maddie, I think I got it. I think I found the one.
You did?
He doesn't mention the guy's name, just his initials. M.J.H. Now, who is he? Do you know? Who's M.J.H.?
Oh, Jimmy. No, not that one.
Well, Why not? Who is he?
Because his name is Harrison. It's Martin J. Harrison, and he's in Wall Street, and... Oh, I suppose he's very wealthy, but he's such an unhappy man. Jimmy, don't make it any worse.
He doesn't sound so unhappy to me. You read the stuff about him?
No, I don't know anything about him. Dr. Cooper types his own notes. They're confidential.
Well, I'll tell you one thing about the guy. He's got a girlfriend.
He does?
How old a guy would you say he is?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose he's close to 60.
Well, guess how old Diana is. That's her name, Diana. She's 18 years old. How about that? 18 years old. And, of course, he's married, isn't he?
Yes, he's married.
Diana. 18-year-old Diana. Boy, you should read the way he talks about her. You put the stuff in a book, you'd have a bestseller. Maddie, tell me more about this guy.
I don't know any more about him. All I know is that Dr. Cooper worries about him a lot. He says he's one of his most difficult patients.
Yeah, I can see that.
Sometimes he said that he shouldn't be treating Mr. Harrison, that he isn't helping him enough.
Well, maybe we can help him. Maybe we can help ourselves.
Oh, Jimmy. All this is so horrible.
His wife doesn't know about Diana, of course. He talks about that a lot. You know, the fact that his wife doesn't know, that it would kill her if she knew. He's worried sick about that. I mean, he's crazy about his wife, but he can't give up this 18-year-old stuff either. Can you imagine?
Please, Jimmy, stop it.
Oh, you can't feel sorry for a guy like this, can you?
Yes, of course I can feel sorry. Whatever's wrong with the man, he can't help himself. He just can't. That's why he's going to Dr. Cooper in the first place.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to him. Now, where's the phone book?
Jimmy, I can't let you do this.
What?
You don't understand about Mr. Harrison. If you could just see the man, the way he looks when he comes into the office, he's so unhappy.
Look, you expect me to be sorry for this guy?
Yeah.
I bet he's had it soft all of his life. I bet he's never had to kick around the street like a stray cat. All right, so now he's having himself a fling and he needs a shrink to make excuses for himself. Yeah, I'm sorry, baby. My heart doesn't bleed for Mr. MJH. It bleeds for me, Jimmy French.
Oh, Jimmy!
Hey, come on, cut that out, huh? Come on.
I can't help it.
Oh, come on, don't cry.
You can't do this to this man, Jimmy. He's sick. He's very sick. If we do something like this, we're liable to make it worse.
You think I care about that? All I care about is us.
But you might drive him out of his head. You might make him insane.
No. I'm just going to make him a little bit poorer.
Oh. Good morning, Mr. Harrison.
Morning.
I'm glad you're able to keep the appointment.
Is the doctor in?
Yes, I'll tell him you're here. Dr. Cooper, Mr. Harrison's arrived. Yes, I will. You can go right in, Mr. Harrison.
Thanks. Please come in, Mr. Harrison. I suppose you've got a few nasty things to say to me today.
Well, why would you think that?
Because of the appointments I've missed. Or maybe it doesn't matter to you. You get paid no matter what, right?
Probably a relief to you when your patients don't show up. Please lie down, Mr. Harrison.
All right. Well, is it true? You're glad when we screwballs don't show up to bother you, aren't you?
You happen to be wrong about that. I'm not glad to miss a session. I lose something by it. And more important, so do you.
$60, that's what I lose.
Can you give me any particular reason why you didn't show up last time?
You know the reason.
Do I?
You know very well. I needed a different kind of therapy, doctor.
Go on.
You know what I'm going to say next.
I'd rather you did the talking.
I went to see her, of course. Diana.
I see.
Took me a whole day to figure out how to get to Diana's place and stay a while. Without my wife finding out, of course.
And did you succeed?
Yes, I succeeded. I told her I was coming to see you. That's always a good excuse, of course, going to see my analyst. So you see, you do come in handy sometimes, Dr. Cooper. You're worth $60 an hour, even when I'm not here lying on your couch. I'm on somebody else's couch.
You don't really consider me an excuse, do you, Mr. Harrison?
No, that's not what I meant, Doctor. You know what I meant.
Please continue.
Anyway, I made sure that Elizabeth didn't know where I was. I always have to make sure of it, that she doesn't suspect anything. I told you what it would do to her. She's a sick woman. That heart of hers is held together with tissue paper. Did I ever tell you how sick she is?
Yes, you've told me.
It would kill her if she found out about Diana. She'd just lay down and die. I can't have that happen, Doctor. She's everything to me. She's my whole world. Well, I know what you're thinking. If she's my whole world, what am I doing with Diana? That's what you want to know, isn't it?
If you can answer the question, please do.
That's just the thing. I can't answer it. I don't know. Every time I see that rotten little 18-year-old tramp. Tramp! That's all she is. Jailbait.
And yet you continue to see her.
I've got to. I can't help it. I've got to go on seeing her, Dr. Cooper. She's got a spell on me. A hex of some kind, I swear it. And yet, oh God, if Elizabeth ever knew, if she ever found out, it would kill her. My wife would die. And then I'd die too.
Jimmy, over here.
Oh, hi, honey. How are you?
I'm scared. I'm terribly scared.
Oh, now, forget that stuff. You got nothing to be scared about.
Why didn't you call me all day? Don't you realize what I was going through?
Well, I was too busy.
Jimmy, please tell me what's happening.
Okay, I'll tell you exactly. I called Mr. Harrison.
You really did?
I called him in his office. I told him I know all about his little 18-year-old and that if he didn't want his wife to find out...
Oh, dear Lord.
Now, listen. Tell me about Dr. Cooper. Everything's okay there, isn't it?
If you mean the files... No, he doesn't realize they were disturbed.
And what about his prized patient, MJH?
Well, he didn't come in today. He broke his appointment today. He always does that when something's really bothering him.
Maddie, listen, this will all be over soon.
When? Please tell me when.
This weekend.
So soon?
Well, it's no use putting it off. I set the price high, so he's liable to bargain. I'm ready for that. I know how to compromise. Maddie, don't look like that.
I can't help it, Jenny. I feel so... dirty.
I'm doing this for both of us, honey. You know that. Tell me you know it.
Yes, I suppose I know it.
And you love me too, don't you? Say it, Maddie.
I love you, Jimmy.
Morning, Maddie.
Morning, Dr. Cooper. How are you?
Oh, not very well this morning, I'm afraid.
Why? What's wrong?
Well, I gather you haven't heard the bad news.
No, I haven't.
It appears that I've lost a patient.
Who is it?
My problem patient. Oh, I should have known better. I should have realized that he needed more help than I was able to give him. Then this might not have happened.
You don't mean Mr. Harrison?
Yes, Mr. Harrison. I knew there was a dark and dangerous force within him, that it was getting closer to the surface every day, but I never expected anything like this.
What happened?
He killed a man, Maddie.
He what?
I saw the violence in him, but I didn't foresee this.
Who did he kill?
A blackmailer. Man's name was French, James French. He was threatening to tell Harrison's wife about a young girl Harrison was in love with. Harrison wasn't going to pay him. Harrison went to see the man, and he brought a gun with him. He shot him dead. And now the police have arrested him.
Dear God.
A blackmailer. I can't understand it. I can't understand where he could have learned such a thing. How he could have made such a terrible mistake.
A mistake? What do you mean?
Well, I mean there was no cause for blackmail, Maddie. No real cause, only the dark fantasies in his own soul.
Fantasies?
There was no girl named Diana. It was only Harrison's delusion, only a creation of his own guilt-ridden mind.
She wasn't real?
He was guilty about something that never existed. When a blackmailer threatened him, he protected his delusion with murder, the ultimate rationalization.
The ultimate rationalization. And suddenly, Mattie Sheridan's dream of the future is destroyed. But then, her dream was a rationalization too, wasn't it? She'd convinced herself that true love was more important than truth. Now, of course, she'll never know whether the love of Jimmy French was true or not. At least she's spared that cruelest of all fates. We'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Oh, dear. All of this furniture is so beautiful. Look at this beautiful leather chair and this gorgeous oak table. And the prices are so low, I don't know which one to buy first.
I'll help you, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Listen carefully. New federal regulations require that furniture be properly labeled, describing what it's made of, plastic, wood, veneer, and so forth. Be sure to read the labels on the furniture. They'll help you.
Oh, I see. Why, look, the label on this marble table says made of marble dust. No wonder it's cheaper. Oh, thank you for telling me.
Think nothing of it, little lady. Just passing along another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Hope you've enjoyed this little journey into neurosis, blackmail, and murder. They're the typical sort of menu on the Radio Mystery Theater, as our loyal audience has already discovered. We plan to bring you more of the same bill of fare in the future. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to see if I've managed to oil the creek out of our door. Our cast included Augusta Dabney, Jack Grimes, Alan Hewitt, Robert Maxwell, and Joan DeMarais. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
Well, it's our thinking that's wrong. That's what Mildred said. So when she had a pain, she changed her thinking.
Sounds so simple.
Yeah, for her it was.
Matthew, I want your permission to do an autopsy on your dead wife.
An autopsy?
Yeah. I want to have her body exhumed and do an autopsy.
Well, will they let you do that?
With your permission. I think I can get her father's.
Yes, but what excuse will you give?
Oh, that there's a possibility she was, well, maybe ill, maybe incapacitated before the truck hit her, something like that. Do I have your permission, Matthew?
Well, I... Hester, should I say yes?
Well, I think you should. But look at it this way. It'll be the first autopsy ever performed on a known witch.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS News is next on KIXI AM and FM in Seattle. And the weather outlook, partly cloudy and continued cool through Tuesday. The highs in the mid-50s tomorrow, the upper 50s on Tuesday, and the lows in the lower 40s, the upper 30s tomorrow night. Winds will be variable 5 to 15 miles per hour. And in downtown Seattle currently, it's 50 degrees. The barometer is rising. It reads 30.19. The time at KIXI now, 11 p.m.
CBS News. President Ford has expressed his willingness to allow the people to hear some tapes. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president was referring to conversations between himself and former President Nixon. Phil Jones has the details.
President Ford says he would be delighted to make public the tapes of conversations between former President Nixon and himself. The president's agreement to turn over any such tape conversations was based on the qualification that disclosure would be okay with the special prosecutor's office. Some critics have suggested, without documentation, that Mr. Ford, while minority leader, may have been involved in trying to squelch one of the early investigations into Watergate. There is one existing tape where Mr. Nixon requested that Ford be used to stop an investigation. But there is no evidence that then Congressman Ford did attempt to interfere, and he has denied under oath of having any involvement in a cover-up. The Nixon taping system was deactivated before Mr. Ford became vice president, and under the current agreement with the former president, the Nixon tapes would not be made public without the consent of Mr. Nixon. So at least at the moment, any Ford offer to disclose Nixon tapes is academic. Bill Jones, CBS News, Washington.
A group of people plans to file a suit in federal court in Washington Monday to prevent the government from surrendering any tapes and documents from the Nixon administration to Richard Nixon. The Ford administration has already said none of the materials will be handed over to Mr. Nixon. Mr. Nixon has filed his own suit asking that he be given custody of the material. President Ford plans to leave Washington about 5 hours from now to fly west for a meeting with President Echeverria of Mexico. The two presidents will hold talks on both sides of the Arizona border and discuss such matters as trade and the problem of illegal migrant workers from Mexico. President Ford may also want to bring up those reports that a large new oil field has been discovered in southern Mexico. Echeverria says the reported size of the find has been exaggerated, and other Mexican officials have said the U.S. should not expect any deal for cheap oil. More news in a moment.
Sports World Roundup. I'm Jim Kelly with Morning Sports Reports Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday as we cover the complete scoreboard, highlights from the games the night before, and look ahead to the events to come, along with reports from the latest news on players, managers, contracts, deals, everything of interest to the early morning sports fan. It's Network Radio's earliest sports report, Sports World Roundup with Win Elliott, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday, and yours truly, Jim Kelly, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, right here on the CBS Radio Network.
This is Bob Considine for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. In addition to our other services, our special effort named Project Research has been established to help deliver a knockout punch against leukemia. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3003, Garden City, New York. This is Bob Considine saying thanks to you for Project Research. You know, we're committed to conquering leukemia.
A new Gallup poll says that inflation dominates American thinking to an extent greater than any other issue since World War II. Gallup says 81% of those surveyed listed inflation as the country's number one problem. The poll also said 63% of those said the Democratic Party is better able to handle the nation's problems, while 37% favored the Republican Party. President Ford's proposed income tax surcharge came under more fire Sunday. Democratic Senators Robert Byrd and Lloyd Benson both expressed their opposition to the proposal and predicted that Congress will defeat it. Civil rights leader Jesse Jackson also said he's opposed to the president's plan, saying it's the wrong approach to curbing inflation.
Our concern now is that inflation is not being handled properly. It's being handled in a way that's going to increase the hardship upon poor working people. It's not going to resolve the unemployment crisis. People making $15,000 a year with a family of four, their real income has already been eaten up by inflation. Already they're beginning to lose their homes. Their children are coming out of school. And for Ford to put more tax upon them is adding a burden to the people who cannot bear it. On the other hand, if he taxed those making $100,000 a year, those are persons who live beyond necessity, and they're living in luxury.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson, a staff member for the Senate Select Committee on Nutrition and Hunger, says that the Agriculture Department is withholding a report that assesses the world food supply situation as precarious because its conclusions might embarrass Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz. Kenneth Schlossberg says the report was to have been out in time for a World Food Conference in Rome next month, but probably won't be released until December. Schlossberg says an Agriculture Department official told him the report was held up and is being revised because it is political dynamite. The report supposedly criticizes such policies as Secretary Butz's massive 1972 wheat deal with Russia, which critics say nearly depleted domestic grain reserves. Officials in Portland, Oregon, Sunday ordered hospitals and other emergency facilities to prepare to use emergency electric generators. They also authorized the use of a new natural gas turbine plant outside the city and ordered an old steam plant fired up. All this came as an extortion bomber threatened to knock out the city's power system unless he's paid $1 million. 11 transmission towers outside Portland have already been dynamited. Authorities say they think more than one person is in on this, and they say they won't pay any ransom. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, with the time now is 6 minutes past 11.